drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. The fires of 2019 and 2020 were shocking in their intensity. They destroyed forests and homes, threatened communities, and blanketed entire states in smoke. But behind the headlines and the shocking footage were human stories of loss and of resilience. Fires is a new drama series that takes us into the blazes of that summer and the lives impacted by them. Tony Ayres is the executive producer and co-creator, and he's my guest in the drawing room. Tony, welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
What was your own experience of those fires?
I was, I had a week between shooting a TV series called Clickbait that I was doing for Netflix. And I just watched everything on the news and online and felt kind of helpless and sort of overwhelmed by it. So, but I didn't actually really understand what people were feeling or what people were experiencing. I felt very outside of it, but kind of outside and helpless, I guess that's what I'd say.
How do you go from what you experienced on the TV screen? What did you feel that the show needed to capture?
I think in response to that feeling of helplessness, I just thought, well, what can I do to somehow honour what people are going through right now? And so I talked to Sally Riley at the ABC and my dear friend and colleague, Belinda Chaco, who is the showrunner of the show. And we just decided that we needed to get a whole bunch of research done to talk to people who were had experienced these immense losses, to talk to various fire services and to actually try to understand the scope of what had been lost, the scale of the tragedy. So that was kind of the starting point, was just, you know, intense research.
And what were the stories that you wanted then to tell? Fires aren't the only story here. There's obviously a very strong human element.
Yeah, I think we wanted to try to capture the breadth of experience that people went through at an individual level over that sort of summer. And so, you know, we looked at, you know, clearly the story of, you know, how human beings deal with, you know, this fire, but also we also wanted to make sure that every episode wasn't just about, you know, people fighting fires. You know, so there are episodes that are about people dealing with the loss of livelihood and of property. There's the episode dealing with people trying to decide whether to stay and defend or leave, which was, you know, like a huge question for people at the time. And, you know, we also set one episode in a makeshift evacuation centre on Christmas Day, and you know, it's our Christmas episode. We have Sam Worthington in a Santa suit that episode. So we're trying to sort of like look at different experiences, and you know, of course, we had to go have an episode with you know, just civilians trying to protect their property against fire, and we were also, you know, we thought felt as though we couldn't tell this story without somehow tackling that mass evacuation that people in Victoria experienced, like being on the beach and seeing flames in the hills of, in the distance. So you know, we tried to deal with all as many experiences as we could, and to create a bit of a breadth of experience.
As you've just suggested there, the show takes us through a number of different people's stories. Why did you want to tell the story in that way rather than sticking close to a single character?
It just felt as though that summer was so immense, and to just tell one story would not really honour the experience of other stories. So we tried to capture as much as we could. We do have two recurring characters who weave their way through the series. We have two young volunteer fireys, played by Eliza Scanlon and Hunter Page Lockhart. And, you know, that was based on research that we'd done where, you know, these volunteers were travelling down the coast fighting fires, you know, an incredible act of generosity and community. So they're the thread that pulls us through the series. But, you know, each episode has its own anthology element, its individual story, as well as, you know, Hunter and Eliza's story that pulls us across the entire series.
How do you maintain consistency across an anthology like this? How do you make it feel like it's all one thing, you know? Is it just about recurring characters? Is it the vibe? How do you manage that?
Well, I didn't have to do it because Belinda Chaiko was the showrunner, and it's her voice which pulls everything together. Like we had a range of wonderful writers, but Belinda, in the end, you know, just nudged things together, held things together, and had a vision for the series. And it was, you know, we had one cinematographer, so there is a certain look for the series. We have one composer, amazing Cornel Wilczek, who basically holds the series together acoustically, and, you know, one sound designer. So we had common threads across the whole series, which hopefully pull it together. But we also, you know, like each episode is slightly different, and we kind of, you know, have to acknowledge that. So it's a bit of a push-pull in the editing process as well, so that we make sure that it feels like one piece at the same time as being able to look at different experiences.
So talk to me about putting this show together. You're the co-creator with Belinda Chaiko, as you say, but she's the showrunner. You have other directors with you. What's the path from idea to screen? How do you fit together?
This happened really, really quickly. And it was Belinda basically was the head writer. We did the research. We Belinda and I and our co-EPs, Liz Watts and Andrew Denham, you know, we sort of, with the writers, we all went into a writer's room and we just intensely kind of worked out what we wanted to say over a series of months, and then the writers went away and wrote scripts. And then we financed it, the show, and sometimes that can take a long time, but there was a real sense in which people felt as though this was a story that we should be bringing to the screen sooner rather than later. The ABC felt that, and we have an international distributor, NBC Universal, and they felt that as well. And so they kind of backed the show to the level that we required. And then we got, you know, amazing actors to sign on. And in actual fact, people signed on early because we had an extraordinary breadth of acting talent who just wanted to be involved in the project, who felt as though that this was something that was worth saying, and they signed on early, and that kind of helped the financing.
On Radio National, I'm Patricia Carvelis. Tony Ayres is my guest in the drawing room. We're talking about his new show, Fires. You've said that the first step was the research. Take me into those conversations. What were you hearing?
We were hearing stories of loss and stories of survival. I mean, I guess what was extraordinary was the courage that people had in just the act of surviving, you know, facing, having to face fears, having to face the, you know, these, you know, this impossible monster that you know, they had no weapons to fight against, and just the kind of ingenuity that people showed in trying to, you know, deal with this situation. And we were hearing a lot of stories about community, about how people sort of banded together to survive the fires, you know, like volunteer fireys, community firefighting groups. We were hearing stories about people sort of stepping up and kind of doing things above and beyond, like, you know, ways that people helped create evacuation centres, you know, people who ran cafes suddenly cooking for 100 people, you know, how people were getting food from one place to the other. We also heard, you know, stories about anger, people feeling as though, that we weren't resourced enough to fight these fires. So, you know, we had to listen to all those stories. We heard stories about, you know, different theories of why the fires were happening, and we heard a lot of stories about the importance of radio and in connecting people and connecting communities during that time, particularly the role of the ABC. There was a lot of that. I think they were the recurring messages that we heard, and, you know, of course, the courage and, you know, resolute determination of the fireys, who were sort of just so extraordinary in what they gave, and, you know, and also, you know, stories of loss, which we felt as though we had to find a way of talking about without making it feel like people were defeated by loss. You know, it was about dealing with loss and then being able to step up again.
What was it like for you talking deeply with people about that time? Because there must have been a lot of emotion around what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I work in a medium that is, you know, trying to understand emotion and trying to understand what human beings go through and then trying to translate it in a way so that other people can feel it and experience it. And I think we felt a lot of duty of care around the subject. You know, like Belinda in particular felt this enormous responsibility to try to find the best way to tell these stories and to do it respectfully, you know, to do it in a way which honoured people but was also not shying away from the real experiences that they had. I think that was, they were the things that were really important to us. I mean, you can't help but be deeply affected, you know, by these stories. They are real, difficult stories of human beings surviving trauma. But then, you know, we also viewed it with the lens of, you know, how do we help create a path towards healing in this? And we kept coming back to this idea of community, you know, and that felt like that was, you know, one way of talking about something that was positive in the experience. Like, how did people help each other get through this?
Australia was lucky last year when it comes to fire, but we've seen giant fires across the rest of the world. How much did that global experience and what it implies inform the show?
I mean, you don't want to be agitprop in the way that you, you know, make drama. I think that drama works best when it can work emotionally and kind of help people understand what other people are going through. But it was absolutely, you know, crucial for both Belinda and I that we could make a show that raises questions about, you know, why did those fires happen? Why are they happening on a you know, global scale? You know, what's happening to us as a planet? What's happening to us in Australia, and how do we deal with it both individually and as a society? What is our responsibility to generations ahead? All of those questions, I think, are important ones for us to be talking about. And there's, you know, like there's a certain urgency to these questions. I think that everyone feels it as well. You know, like, and I think, you know, where politicians are starting to catch up with the feeling that has been in the community for a considerable time. And I think it's only growing as we see the world kind of, you know, burning before our, you know, we're watching it.
Mm. Are those questions part of the landscape of what you're watching? Is art grappling with these ideas?
I think that we're trying to in our show. We try to grapple with it, certainly. I see a lot of stuff that is trying to do it. And, you know, you've got to try to do it in a way which doesn't, you know, just preach the converted, or, you know, like just say things that everyone, or, you know, to people that already agree with you. So what we try to do in our version of it is just to show people the experience. And so hopefully if people can, you know, particularly people like me who were sitting outside of it and didn't understand it at an emotional level, understood it as a kind of factual level, but not at an emotional level. If we can sort of show people the depth of feeling and the depth of loss, and then maybe we can provoke a conversation where people can find a middle ground and speak to what needs to be done. That, I think that's the best you can do when you create art or you create drama.
Another show of yours, Clickbait, has hit Netflix as well. Has it been a busy few years, or is it just life in the screen world?
Well, it's been a crazy few years because we filmed six episodes. We were the first show in Australia shut down by the pandemic. So
what a legacy.
I know, a badge of honour. And So that took a lot longer than a normal show would take. And then we started up again, you know, when Melbourne was in stage four lockdown, and we just rolled the dice and said, you know, we believe that we are going to be able to film. And, you know, we flew people back from all over the world, and, you know, the show miraculously was able to be finished whilst Melbourne had zero COVID cases. And then we premiered recently, and it was extraordinary that, you know, people really responded to the show. It's the best possible, you know, scenario.
Yeah, for sure. What was that like, getting shut down? Must have made things really complicated.
We had two episodes left, so it was kind of hell. And there was a big question about, you know, could we get the cast back? Because, you know, a lot of them were in America, some were in Europe. You know, travel restrictions, you know, it was pretty scary for a while. But I think, you know, because of the way Australia was ahead of the curve with COVID last year, we were in a good position to start up again. I think we were one of the first shows to actually start up again last year. But, yeah, it was pretty hairy for a while. We did have one cast member grow 6 inches between shots, because we filmed some of his scenes before the shutdown and other scenes after the shutdown. And so in that time, his voice had dropped and he was 6 inches taller. I think that could be, you know, called the COVID bump.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It was a crazy time.
How do you deal with 6-inch growth? Does he suddenly need to sort of stand further back?
He was sitting a lot. And fortunately, no one seems to have noticed. But, you know, anyone with an acute eye will notice that he is well below his mother's eye line in episode 1 and towering over her in episode 8.
That's so good. When you're building a world for the screen, what are the small details you need to look out for, other than, you know, 6-inch growth spurts? I saw you mention that Australian door handles are higher than American ones.
Yeah, we had this great American production designer, Lauren Krasko, and she basically had this eagle eye for the differences, because she lived in the Bay Area where our show was set. And, you know, she just told us things like door handles. We had to digitally change all the rooftops because they don't have terracotta. Of course, driving is a nightmare, and every time we had to have a new car, we'd have to bring one over from America. But we also filmed a few days in America. We wanted to film more in America, but we couldn't because of COVID. But in the end, what you try to do is you put all your resources into making the first few episodes look very authentic. And then you hope that it's the weight of the story, it's the propulsion of the story that will get you over the line on the back end. And that's kind of what happened to us. I think that, you know, particularly episode 1, we had a couple of walk and talk scenes in Oakland, and that really helped nail it. And then we had some driving scenes over there, and it just helps kind of, you know, sell it at that sort of unconscious level where, you know, like, I think people pick up small details, you know, at the back of their mind. And if it accumulates too much, then it starts kind of coming to the front of your mind. And also, if you're bored, that's when things come to the front of your mind. So we tried to keep the show going fast so people wouldn't be bored.
Yeah, I like that. Don't get people bored. How different is each project? As you move between sets and between production companies, what changes? I mean, was it easy to pick things up again on Clickbait because you had Netflix behind you?
Yeah, listen, every show is this kind of learning curve and this new range of possibilities of things going wrong. And I think, you know, like, I've been in this business for quite a while now, and you learn that there is something that's basically going to be tricky with a combination of people you put together. You know, that's just the nature of human dynamics. So what experience helps you with is not panicking when things go wrong and trying to tackle it and trying to get through it. And you know, like, I've been able to get through everything that I've done in the past, and so you just have to take that with you as you go along. But I think, you know, yeah, having Netflix behind the show was great. You know, Clickbait was the biggest show I've ever done, and you know, having those resources helped us so much when we got into trouble. You know, we could buy our way out of trouble, which often, you know, I'm just not able to because of, you know, working on smaller Australian budgets. What else? I think, you know, the thing that I love about this industry is that, you know, every time you do it, you're always working with amazing people. And it's, you know, it's kind of like the lesson of fires. It's community. You know, people are the people who give you a hard time, but they're also the people who get you through it, you know. And we have such an incredible talent pool in Australia. I cannot speak more highly of the crews and the cast and, you know, like the directors and the people who work above and beyond. You know, that they really are extraordinary, and they are the thing that makes this industry a joy.
Tony, beautifully said, and thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Tony Ayres has been my guest in The Drawing Room, and Fires starts this Sunday, September 26th at 8:40 on ABC TV and ABC iView.